from Seoul, Korea, KBS World Radio News Today starts right now.
On today's broadcast, President Lee Jae-myung presents a blueprint for peace on the Korean Peninsula on the 81st anniversary of Korea's liberation from Japan's colonial rule. The United States threaten harsher economic sanctions against Iran as talks to end the nearly six-month conflict remain deadlocked. And the military and fire authorities mobilize vehicles to supply agricultural water to drought-hit South Gyeongsan province. This is KBS World Radio News. I'm Emily Jennings. President Lee Jae-myung has put forth a blueprint for establishing peace on the Korean Peninsula and developing ties with Japan, marking the 81st anniversary of Korea's liberation from Japan's colonial rule. At a state ceremony in Seoul on Saturday, Lee proposed that the two Koreas sit down for talks on ending the war and ways to replace the unstable armistice system with a peace regime. The president said the two sides could also discuss effective ways to halt the advancement of the North's nuclear capabilities. On the Seoul-Tokyo relations, the South Korean leader vowed to further expand the horizon of bilateral cooperation for shared interests based on mutual trust built during the past year of summit diplomacy. He anticipated opening a new 60 years of peace and prosperity with Japan on top of firm mutual trust, which he said should be built by people on both sides based on a sincere understanding of pain from their history. The president also called for new liberation that would help South Korea make a leap and become an irreplaceable country that will lead the world in advanced technologies, promising to enhance the country's growth potential through active investments. The Liberation Day ceremony was attended by some 3,000 people, including independence activists and their family members, as well as government officials, politicians and religious leaders. North Korean leader Kim Jong-un has paid tribute to former Soviet forces who fought against Japan during World War II, marking the anniversary of Korea's liberation from Japan's colonial rule. According to the North's state-run Korean Central News Agency on Saturday, Kim was accompanied by his daughter Jue as he visited the Liberation Tower in Pyongyang the previous day. Kim said the excellent history, traditions and ties of blood between the North and Russia serve as a fundamental cornerstone and driving force for their friendship and cooperation, and that such solidarity will be upheld by future generations. It was Kim's third visit to the Liberation Tower on the occasion of Liberation Day, which was built to commemorate Soviet troops killed while driving out Japanese forces in 1945 from what is now North Korea. Russian President Vladimir Putin, meanwhile, sent a congratulatory message to Kim, highlighting the friendly ties in reference to their unprecedentedly high level of comprehensive strategic partnership. Japanese Prime Minister Sanae Takaichi has sent a ritual offering to a controversial Yakusuni shrine marking the 81st anniversary of Japan's surrender in World War II. Citing a senior ruling Liberal Democratic Party representative, Japan's Kyodo News reported on Saturday that Takaichi personally paid the offering as the party president. Kyodo said although Takaichi visited the shrine each year on the war anniversary prior to becoming prime minister, she is unlikely to do so this year, citing the visits by Japanese leaders have drawn protests from neighboring countries like South Korea and China. The shrine honors more than 2.46 million of the country's war dead, including 14 Class A war criminals, and is considered a symbol of Japan's past militarism. Japanese Defense Minister Shinjiro Kusumi, meanwhile, visited the shrine Saturday morning, the first time by the sitting defense minister since his predecessor made a visit 2 years earlier. The United States has threatened harsher economic sanctions against Iran as negotiations to end their conflict that is nearing its six-month mark remain in deadlock. U.S. Secretary of Treasury Scott Bessent told U.S. outlet Newsmax on Thursday local time that the measures will be announced next week and that they will be at a level that has never been seen in the history of the economic isolation of a country. Bezent said since Operation Economic Fury was launched in late February, the US has shifted its focus toward economic fury and that the Treasury Department has raised the level once again as instructed by US President Donald Trump. The secretary said the measures will be in a combination of economic isolation like the world has never seen before and the continued blockade in the Strait of Hormuz that will keep anything from going in or out of the Iranian ports. The move to intensify economic pressure on Iran comes amid reports that the US military campaign is facing growing constraints. US defense missile stocks have reportedly been severely depleted, while recent reports also suggest that living conditions aboard the USS Abraham Lincoln in the region have deteriorated following an extended deployment. Iran has dismissed US President Donald Trump's latest claim that he will soon declare the Strait of Hormuz as US territory. On X on Saturday, Iran's Deputy Foreign Minister Kazam Garabaradi said the waterway has been Iranian, is Iranian and will remain Iranian, and that it will be opened and closed only at Iran's command. The Deputy Minister said the strait cannot be seized by tweet, nor by aircraft carrier, nor by issuing an order, nor by an election speech, and that Iran neither fears threats nor displays of power. Garabaradi said unless Washington accepts the reality of its defeat, Tehran would continue to enforce its blockade. During remarks in Long Island, New York on Friday, Trump said he would soon declare the waterway an American territory without providing details on how he intended to do so. Gasoline and diesel prices at gas stations nationwide fell for the 13th consecutive week, with both remaining in the mid-1,800 won range. According to the Korea National Oil Corporation's price information system, OpenNet, on Saturday, the average price of gasoline nationwide stood at 1,864.1 won per litre in the second week of August, down 2.1 won from the previous week. The average price of diesel also fell 2.2 won on week to 1,847 won per litre. International oil prices, meanwhile, rose this week amid growing concerns over supply and transportation disruptions as negotiations between the United States and Iran remain deadlocked and attacks continued on oil facilities in the Middle East and Russia. The government is maintaining price caps on petroleum products to minimize the impact of fluctuations in global oil prices domestically. Some 100 vehicles from the Army, Navy, Air Force and Marine Corps have been mobilised to supply agricultural water to the drought-stricken South Gyeongsang province. According to the Army and Provincial Fire Authorities, 102 vehicles from the military branches are set to be dispatched to the affected regions starting Saturday. Fire authorities continue to supply water on the second day since the national mobilisation order was extended and additional vehicles were brought in by local government and businesses to transport water. As of Friday, the average reservoir rate in the province for agricultural water had dropped to 32.2% or 45.6% of the 30-year average. Estimated downpours of up to 250 millimetres along the south coast and up to 150 millimetres elsewhere in the province over the weekend are expected to bring an end to the situation. And that's the news from KBS World Radio's News Centre in Seoul. I'm Emily Jennings.